Saddened by allegations that Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich tried to trade favors for Obama's Senate seat, and says he had no contact with the governor or his office on the matter. The governor was arrested on federal corruption charges. Prosecutors say Blagojevich wanted to give Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. Obama says he will have no further comment on the matter because it is an ongoing investigation.
It's a sad day for Illinois. Beyond that, I don't think it's appropriate to comment.
Blagojevich was released on a signature bond that specifies he'll forfeit $4,500 bond if he doesn't appear in court. Blagojevich also was ordered to relinquish his passport and his firearm owner's identification card. As President Bush defends his record of using military might, he has again invoked the 9/11 attacks to justify the invasion of Iraq. The president told cadets at West Point that in the days after the attacks, his administration could not afford to let Saddam Hussein stay in power in the heart of the Middle East. The president also says the U.S. military is better able to confront the terrorist threat than it was when he took office.
With all the actions we've taken these past 8 years, we've laid a solid foundation on which future presidents and future military leaders can build.
President Bush urged President-elect Obama to stand with dissidents who support freedom and provide all needed help to U.S. troops and their families. A Canadian pro-family leader says there may soon come a time when English-speaking Canada may have to take a break from Quebec, which continues to be dominated by a political party whose only goal is separation from the rest of the country. AFN's Chad Groening has details.
Brian Rushfeld is executive director of the Canada Family Action Coalition. He is very concerned about the recent attempt by three Liberal Canadian parties to oust Prime Minister Stephen Harper, whose Conservative Party strengthened its minority position in October's federal elections. Harper avoided a no-confidence vote last week when Canada's Governor General allowed him to dissolve Parliament and prevent a takeover by that rogue coalition that includes the party Bloc Québécois, which has had the stated goal of independence for the French-speaking province. Rushfeld wonders if maybe it's time to grant them their wish.
People are starting to question, is Quebec of any value to Canada? And that's been asked a little bit. I think they're starting to be asked even more seriously now because we see that they are taking huge amounts of revenues from the rest of Canada, producing little or nothing for us.
But Rushfeld says such a move could cause a serious constitutional crisis in Canada.
Quebec, when they threatened separation a number of years ago, said, if we decide to separate, the Constitution doesn't apply to us anyway, so you guys can say whatever you want, but we're out of here. If there was sufficient momentum to cause Quebec to separate, it may turn into a bit of a civil war.
Rushfeld says he hopes it doesn't come to that, but there clearly remains division between Quebec and English-speaking Canada. I'm Chad Groening.
Planned Parenthood is pushing to make comprehensive sex education mandatory in Massachusetts. Brian Kamiker of the pro-family group Mass Resistance says Massachusetts public schools already provide students with radical comprehensive sex education. However, state law is vague in its enforcement, so many schools choose not to teach it due to its radical nature. He says many schools understand if they did make the course mandatory, they would be faced with a huge outcry from parents. But that's not stopping Planned Parenthood from trying to make the radical sex ed program mandatory in 2009.
This is every parent's nightmare. It's a horrible, horrible piece of legislation. It would mandate a whole range of topics of abortion counseling, sexuality, a range of sexuality, homosexual tolerance, homosexual behavior, homosexual families, and also, a lot of other issues as a requirement for graduation. And not only that, but as a requirement for passing through certain grades.
Previous efforts to make the sex ed curriculum mandatory were met with fierce resistance. Kamiker says they were able to get 400 people into the hearings because people were extremely angry over the bill. His goal is to kill the bill in committee. That's the news to the hour for the American Family News. In this day of
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. What we do here is go through the Bible, for the time being anyway, and we've got a lot of Bible to go through. We ended up in Jeremiah at chapter 48. And let's see, whereabouts are we? Oh yes, Moab. Moab is spoiled and gone up out of her cities, and his chosen young men are gone down to the slaughter, saith the king, whose name is Yahuwah of hosts, as Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 15. I like that. He is our king. You know, our creator is our king. Our creator is our salvation. He is all of those things to us. The name Yahshua means that our creator is our salvation. Our creator by name is our salvation. That's what the name Yahshua means. Verse 16, the calamity of Moab is come near, is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him bemoan him, and all ye that know his name, saying, how is the strong staff broken, and the beautiful rod? Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, and come down from thy glory, and sit in thirst, for the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. O inhabitants of Aroer, stand by the way and espy. Ask him that fleeth, and her that escapeth, and say, what is done? Moab is confounded, for it is broken down. Howl and cry, tell ye it in Arnon, that Moab is spoiled, and judgment is come upon the plain country, upon Holon, and upon Jehazah, and upon Mephaath, and upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth Diblathiam, and upon Kiriatham, and upon Ben Gamul, and upon Beth Meon, and upon Kirioth, and upon Bozrah, and upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far or near. The horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith Yahuwah. Make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he also shall be in derision. For was not Israel in derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave thy cities and dwell in the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. We have heard the pride of Moab, his exceeding proud, his loftiness and his arrogance, and his pride and his haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith Yahuwah, but it shall not be so. His lie shall not so affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab, and I will cry out for all Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the man of Kir-Hares. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of Jazer. The spoiler is fallen upon the summer fruits and upon thy vintage. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful land and from the land of Moab. I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. For the cry of Heshbon, even unto Elealeh, even unto Jahaz, they have uttered their voices from Zoar, even unto Horonaim as a heifer of 3 years old, for the waters also of Nimrim shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to his gods. Therefore mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes. Mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kir-Hareseth, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, and every beard clipped. Upon all the hands shall be the cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof. I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein is no pleasure, saith Yahuwah. They shall howl, saying, how is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and a dismaying to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kirioth is taken, and the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab at that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against Yahuwah. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O habitation of Moab, saith Yahuwah. He that fleeth from thee, from the fear, shall fall into the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force. But a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame in the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab! The people of Chemosh perisheth, for thy sons are taken captive, and thy daughters captive. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. Well, not a whole lot to comment there. All of the very poetically, the very poetically pronounced judgments against Moab, one of the cities about Jerusalem. Of course, we know that the judgment of Jeremiah, the judgment of Yahuwah, the Lord, spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, first to Israel and Judah, and then to all of the nations round about. And so now we're getting to all of the nations round about. And what we see here is a demonstration in prophecy, the prophet Jeremiah speaking against the nations in the land that day, all of the nations that were doing evil in the sight of Yahuwah. All of those nations should have known better. All of those nations had the gospel preached to them, not as we understand it today, and certainly not as the evangelicals preach it. Perhaps maybe as the evangelicals do preach it, because the evangelicals preach that the law is dead, do they not? Which leads to lawlessness. And they were lawless. They forgot the law of God. Because all of these people, every single family that comprised every nation that dwelt in the land, they were all of the seed of Noah and his four sons. Every single one of them should have known the truth, but they all forgot their God. So we see how the Heavenly Father dealt with nations in history, and not just through the prophet Jeremiah, but through all of the prophets and through all of history. demonstrated over and over. He brings one nation. Of course, he starts with those who are called by his name, and he judges them first. And then he judges those nations that he uses to judge his people. Because even the prophet Jeremiah says that Babylon's time will come. They will be judged too, at the same time that they're being used as the sword of the Lord against even his own people and all of these nations round about. How could everyone forget the history of the world? Well, how could they even remember? Because they are not taught the history of the world. In the nation where I live, they send them all to public school systems, and they all become public fools. They don't teach them real history. They teach them what they want them to believe about history. That's what they teach them. So if we say, how could they forget? Well, they could forget because they never remembered, because their fathers and their grandfathers forgot. Their fathers and their grandfathers traded in their heritage. They traded in the truth, not just for lies, yes, for lies, but also for benefits. They've all been bribed. Why do you send your children to public schools? You mothers that stay at home all day. There are plenty out there that stay at home all day. Why do they send their children to public schools? Well, because it's a bribe. Because the state offers to take that burden off of your hands. You're sending them to daycare. Let's look at it with real eyes. The Heavenly Father has entrusted mothers and fathers with the lives of children. They are a gift from Him. But we don't believe Him. We don't believe they're a gift. We believe what the state tells us. They're a burden. That's right. And if we can't abort them, well, then we can send them off every day to the state daycare centers. So we've forgotten. When we've forgotten to our own peril. Because what is going to happen to America? What is going to happen here? Because we've forgotten His law and His statutes. We've forgotten what happens to a nation when it forsakes the Creator and His laws. The nation is quickly forgetting His laws and overturning the foundations of the nation. We should read this, and we should be afraid. We should read this, and we should weep, knowing that judgment is coming to this land. It is coming. And we can see it coming. It's coming slowly. It's creeping in. And I'm afraid that, as always, in the end, it will come like a flood, just like it did for Jerusalem both times that it was prophesied. Yes, it crept in. They allowed wickedness to come in. They threw off the shackles and of the law. And then suddenly, it came like a flood and destroyed them. Chapter 49 of Jeremiah and verse 1. Concerning the Ammonites, here we go, another nation. Thus saith Yahuwah, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Reba of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap. And her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were heirs, saith Yahuwah. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Reba, gird you with sackcloth, lament, and run to and fro by the hedges, for their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. Wherefore gloriest thou in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasure, who, saying, who shall come unto me? Could you say America? Can you say it? Who shall come unto us. Don't we trust in our own riches and our beautiful valleys full of food and water and the blessing of God? Don't we trust in all those things when we should be trusting in the God that provided all those things for us? Yahuwah by name. Behold, he says, speaking to the Ammonites, behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith Yahuwah, God of hosts, from all those that are about thee, and you shall be driven out, every man right forth and gone, and none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith Yahuwah. Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him the time that I will visit him. And of course, Edom is Esau. And of course, speaking of the descendants of Esau. Chapter 49 and verse 9. If the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes, if thieves by night will destroy till they have enough? But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children. I will perverse them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith Yahuwah, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together, and come again, come against her, and I will, and rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen, and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart. O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation, and every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith Yahuwah, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong, but I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Hear therefore the counsel of Yahuwah that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he has purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry, the noise thereof is heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Bozrah. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in her pangs. Concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble, and turneth herself to flee, and fear has seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her, as a woman in travail. How is the city appraised not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in the streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith Yahuwah of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Concerning Kedar, and concerning the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite, thus saith the Lord, arise, ye go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains, and all their vessels, and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. Flee, get ye far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith Yahuwah. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you, and hath conceived a purpose against you. Arise, get you up unto the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. All their camels shall be a booty, and the multitude of their cattle a spoil. And I will scatter into all winds them that are in the utmost corners, and I will bring their calamity from all sides thereof, saith Yahuwah. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the book of Jeremiah. We just ended up in chapter 49 and verse 2. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Love to be in your presence with the people. Let's stand and sing that. You can clap your hands and be free tonight. Woo!
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar's.
Yeah.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. My website is Cross the Border. You can go there anytime you want. Watch my short video there, and you'll get an overview of a good capsule of my theology, if I could put it that way, of how I see the Scripture in a very short encapsulated view. And what I believe, and perhaps you may be enlightened by that, perhaps not, I don't know. Also, you'll find there these Bible studies, the last 5 days, of course, of this Jeremiah study will be there, because we always have the last 5 days of the Bible studies are posted there on the website from the live broadcasts. Eventually, after I finish his study, it usually takes me a little while to get the studies up there because I am a very busy man. When you serve the Heavenly Father, I'll tell you what, at least for me, there's not a whole lot of time to get everything done very fast because there is a lot of work to do. I don't know, what did the Messiah say? He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. So I say, come on, you know, get your sickle out and get out here in the field with me, because the Heavenly Father needs all of the workers he can get. And there's no greater privilege in this life than to serve Him with all our heart. But if you want to serve Him first, you have to learn how to serve Him. To serve Him, you have to learn obedience, because what good is a disobedient servant? If you're out there sinning and carousing and disregarding His law, then He can't use you. There's no place for you in His kingdom. If you want to serve Him, then first serve Him by obedience. Yahshua, He put it quite well when He was asked that question. And the question was, what is the greatest commandment, Master? And of course, these Pharisees, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites were always tempting Him, trying to catch Him in His words, but He always confounded them. And they would always return and say, but never a man spake like this. We've never heard such things before. No one's ever spoke like this. We can't trap this man in his words. But anyway, they asked Him, what is the greatest commandment? And He said, well, the greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And of course, you know, I read the Ten Commandments and I read the Old Testament. They could have argued with that, but you know what? They really couldn't argue with it. And then he continued. He didn't stop there. He said, the second is like unto it. So we have two great commandments. One is to love our Creator. And the second, He said, is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to explain that this was the reason that He gave us the law and the prophets. The reason He gave us the law and the prophets, that was the law and the prophets, of course, comprised of what we call the Old Testament at that time. That was the law and the prophets. That was what He was speaking about. He was speaking about the Old Testament. If they had used that terminology then, He would have said, that's what the Old Testament's all about. It's to teach you how to love God and how to love your neighbors yourself. And I'll tell you what, if you study the book with that in mind, as we are doing, as we have been doing, and you go through these studies, and you'll see it everywhere. And yes, you'll see a lot of bad examples of how not to, but part of learning how to do something is learning how not to do the opposite by learning from people that did the opposite. We don't want to be like that. Our Heavenly Father punishes nations and people who do the opposite. So the Word of God teaches us how to love God and how to love our neighbors ourselves. So we've got all these ecumenical, evangelical, corporate Christians out there going to their corporate churches and just running around going, oh, I love God. Oh, I just love Jesus. Well, if that's true, then they should look to His Word and they should say to themselves, well, if I love God, then how do I show it to Him? And if you look to His Word, then you show it to Him by obedience to His Word, by following His commandments to the letter. Not because that'll save you, because nothing can save you. There's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Because you can never erase your past sins. We can never erase the sins of our fathers. We can never go back and undo what was done. We cannot unscramble the egg. It's already been scrambled. We already have the death sentence. We were born with it. And if that wasn't bad enough, each of us being born with a death sentence, yeah, come on, all you atheists, tell me it ain't so. Tell me it is not so. All of the proof, all of the evidence you need is in your own mortality. That's right. All the evidence you need that this word is true is in your own mortality. You will die. You are born with a death sentence. You will pay the price for the sins of your progenitors. Number one, you were born with a death sentence. And then after you were born, you sinned. That's right. You stole. You hated your brother without a cause. You committed adulteries. You practice idolatry. Yes, all have sinned. So we deserve a double death. But the grace of God allows us to be born, and then the grace that came through His only Son allows us to stand before a holy God as if we had never sinned. So, the message from our Messiah, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. His kingdom has always been at hand for those who wanted to please Him, those who desired the gifts, the promises that He has always offered to all men, who desire to live according to His truth, the only real truth there is. There is only one truth, and it is absolute truth. And He is the only one who can tell us what absolute truth is. We cannot have our own absolute truth, exclusive of other people's truth. There's only one truth, and He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Cross the border into His kingdom and live forever. Give up your lawlessness. Say, Father, teach me how to love You. Please teach me how to love You. Teach me Your laws and Your ways. Write Your law upon my heart that I might not sin against You. And then you can truly say, I love God. Then you can truly say, I love Jesus. But as long as you're saying the law is nailed to the cross, as long as you continue in your lawlessness, every time you mouth those words, I love Jesus or I love God, you are a liar. That's all there is to it. You are a liar. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm just saying you have to desire. You have to have a true desire to be perfect. And He judges the hearts. He knows what your true desire is. Whether you're after Him or after the things that He has created. Whether you worship Him or you practice the idolatry of worshiping the created things. Yeah, let us be the people who love the Creator more than the creation. And if we do that, even though the nation perish around us, as prophesied over and over, as we've seen repeated over and over in history, even though the nation perish around us, even though He bring the sword of the heathen and the unbelieving hordes against us, or the famine, or the pestilence, come what may, even if the sword comes to us for our faith, because we stand in His truth and we will not recant, come what may. We know that His promises are true. We know that we will be in His kingdom forever. Though our mortality pass, and it will. Mortality, this period of mortality will pass for all of us. Yes, even you atheists out there sitting around relishing your unbelief, trying to convince believers that the Bible is fables. Well, you just, come on, convince me that you're immortal. Convince me that you're not going to die, and then tell me why. Yes, all the evidence you need is in your own mortality. Jeremiah chapter 49 and verse 33. And Hazor shall be a dwelling for dragons, and a desolation forever. Yes, dragons are lizards from small to big. A desolation forever. Yeah, Hazor. There shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. The word of Yahuwah that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. Well, you know, that there is a generous judgment to be scattered among the nations, because you live. You get to live. For I will cause Elam, that's verse 37, chapter 49, for I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, Even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith Yahuwah. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Now, what are these latter days that he's talking about? Well, if we're going to take it in context of the prophet who's speaking these words, the latter days that Jeremiah speaks of course, is the gathering back together, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and the gathering together and a long period of peace in Judah, leading up to, of course, Daniel's 70th week and the appearance on the scene of the Messiah, after which the abomination of that maketh desolate occurs again and brings about again the destruction of Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem and the temple once again after it's rebuilt. And we see all of these cities, they had a remnant that came back in those latter days. And of course, the latter days, I believe, in this context here, are referring to the latter days of national Israel, of Israel as a nation, as a demonstration of the people of God on earth, and what happens to a nation. And unfortunately, I believe that the kingdom of God perished long before Israel, long before Judah, and long before the return again of Judah to Israel and the land of Palestine for the last time, when it was again destroyed in 70 AD. Because I believe that the end of the demonstration of the kingdom of heaven in flesh on earth, I believe it ended when the children of Israel cried out to the prophet and said, "We want a king like other nations. We want a king like the other nations." That's really when the kingdom of heaven on earth, or the kingdom of God on earth, ended. The demonstration was that as long as man lives in his sinful flesh, they can't keep the kingdom of heaven. They can't keep a righteous nation. Demonstrated thoroughly. And again, in America, the greatest hope in the modern era of the kingdom of heaven on earth, the kingdom of God in flesh, destroyed once again. But it ended there when the people cried out, the children of Israel cried out and said, "We want a God like the other nations." And Yahuwah said to the prophet, he said, "They haven't rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over them." And as a great Bible translator proclaimed, in translating the Bible, he discovered what I discovered by reading those same words about the nation that the Heavenly Father set up in the wilderness. It was a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And of course, we know that the greatest usurper of all the presidents, the first in a long line of usurpers of presidents in America, we know that he borrowed that phrase or plagiarized, because he didn't give credit for that statement that he borrowed from Wycliffe. That phrase, a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. But that was a proclamation about the nation that the Heavenly Father set up in the wilderness, the nation that he gave to the children of Israel, because it was a nation of judges, and all of those judges rose up of the people, from families of tens and families of fifties and families of hundreds on up to the supreme judge in Israel, who was at that time, well, was Moses, of course. And of course, above Moses was their God and their king, who was their creator. And America, well, somewhat founded on those same principles, as the prophet John proclaimed, America, a land rising up in the wilderness, having two horns like a lamb. Yes, all of those lamb-like features that were adopted. The greatest and last hope of anything near the kingdom of God in flesh on earth in the modern era. And I believe that's it, because we see that that lamb-like creature is morphing into a beast that speaks like a dragon. And soon it will change so fast and so quickly that it's going to make the people's heads spin in America, because it'll be gone. And that's the judgment that America deserves, because they have forgotten their God, just like all of these nations that we're reading about in Jeremiah. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all the winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcast of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith Yahuwah, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith Yahuwah. But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith Yahuwah. Will it happen in America? Yes, it will. I think that you can bank on it. We're in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 1. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Now you'll notice here that Babylon is the sword of Yahuwah. See, our Heavenly Father, this is His creation. He created it. He can wield it any way He wants. If He wants to wield one nation as His sword, that's what He does. Israel, in the beginning, when they went in to inherit the land, and while they were inheriting the land, they were the sword of the Lord. And when He told them, see, when He commanded them, you go in and you kill every man, woman, and child. Now you'll hear all of the naysayers today, and all of the unbelievers, and all of those who profane and blaspheme the name of God, they'll say, "Oh, that Old Testament, all those people, they were bloody. How could a God of love? That's not a true book. That's not about God." Well, yes, it is. Here we have an instance. We have Babylon, the sword of the Lord. You know, so the Babylonians weren't listening to God. They weren't getting their instruction directly from Him. He wasn't telling them what to do, but they did it anyway, because He wields His sword, the sword of His choosing. And the whole earth is His, and everyone that dwells in it. And so when the children of Israel went in to take a nation at the word of the Lord, yes, they were to be obedient. That's the difference. It's all of these heathen nations, when He wields them as a sword, they have no choice. He's not instructing them what to do. And you'll see that when the Heavenly Father instructed Israel as to what to do, well, sometimes they were obedient, and sometimes they were not obedient. And when they were not obedient, they were punished for their disobedience. But when He wields the heathen and the unbelievers, well, they have no choice. They're like the wild animal out in the wilderness. It has no choice. It has to follow the instructions in its brain. And those instructions are called instinct. Yeah. And that's the way the heathen are. They're driven by that instinct. They're driven by the instruction that the Heavenly Father gives them. They have no choice. Because that is not their relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because they're not living in obedience to them. They aren't going, well, what can I do to please my Creator today? Because if you're doing that, then He gives you instruction. And if you love Him, then you'll obey. And that's how you show your love to Him. And that's how Israel as a nation was to show its love for its God, its Creator, through obedience. So He instructed them to be His sword when He said, you go in, and you kill every man, woman, and child, or whatever instruction. Because sometimes they were to go in and kill every man and take the women and the children and the animals as booty for themselves. Their instructions varied, but they were to follow those instructions. Yes, He is God. No man has a right to judge the Creator. Who are we? We are but dust. Can the pot say to the potter, "Why have you made me thus?" Or, you know, that's what the Scripture says. So He wields the sword, and here He punishes those that He wields as a sword to demonstrate it over and over again. How can we think that we will escape? How can we think that America will escape? The word that Yahuwah spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet: declare ye among the nations and publish, and set up a standard, publish and conceal not, say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken pieces. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to take a break here. Visit my website, shoot me an email, let me know what you think of this program. We'll be back in a few minutes.
From a secret side.